This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome back to Thoughts on the Table, the audio blog on food and food culture with Paolo and back with Nick Zingale. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Paolo. Ciao. Come stai?
Molto bene, grazie. It's very nice to see you.
You too.
It seems sunny over there in Cleveland.
You know, it's very overcast, but there's still a lot of light coming in, so that's good.
Good for you. We've seen a lot of rain here in Vancouver. Actually, my weather app yesterday was telling me that it's basically rain for the foreseeable future. This is the the answer.
You get a lot up there, right?
Lots of rain. Anyway, Nick is back. We mentioned it before in our previous episodes. Nick spent about 6 months in Italy. First, working as a teaching assistant in Turin or near Turin. And then when that term ended, he spent just some time traveling. He was telling me that this was at the beginning of May when, he started his trip. And do you want to talk about the first destination? One of the first places you went and discovered was this super famous Cinque Terre.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the first place and the most beautiful of all of my travels, I would still say.
When you start from the one you like best.
The most beautiful.
Cannot match it. Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal down there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had been living with a host family in the suburbs of Torino for 3 months. And they were kind of, it was great to do it the way that I did because I had almost 3 months where I didn't have to worry about much. And I could just get used to being in Italy and work on my language skills, get used to how to get around and everything like that. So that way, when the time came, the 1st of May, the program ended, I moved out of their house, I was already very comfortable going around by myself. Mm-hmm. So the first place I did, it was May 1st in the morning, got up, got my backpack, traveling light, got on the train and headed into Torino, changed to a train for Genova. Mm-hmm. And from Genova, I headed towards La Spezia, where I would then get up into the Cinque Terre. Mm-hmm. So that train from Genova to La Spezia is absolutely a gorgeous ride because I made sure to sit on the right, because you are riding along the Italian Riviera, Ligurian coast, whatever you want to call it, and the water is crystal clear blue, and it was the 1st of May, and it just, the colors are absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous one. I did it too at one point in my youth. it's phenomenal what you see from those trains. Much better than the highway. I recommend taking the train to go down there. Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. There's I don't remember what they call the mountain range there that separates Liguria from Piemonte.
Well, it's the Apennine, but they probably have a more specific name.
Would that be the Apennines? That's, it's unbelievable the difference in climate that those mountains create, because it's the mountains and the sea, they have certain effects. And I took a meteorology class at one time. I don't understand it, but it just really moderates the climate down there in Liguria. And after I changed trains in Genova to head to La Spezia, what happened was that many tourists were now on the train. And I was in Piedmont in February, March, and April, not many tourists. So I actually wasn't used to being in Italy and having all kinds of people speaking English and all kinds of tourists around. So it was almost like a culture shock for me there.
You were disappointed.
Yes.
So, but I trained to speak Italian for 3 months. I'm fully prepared. I look Italian.
Esatto.
And I'm surrounded by Americans. What's going on?
Exactly. And I was disappointed. And, I can be a little bit like, oh, well, I'm way better at being in Italy than these people. They don't know what they're talking about, And so I sit down at the train at one of the, they have the seats that don't face anyone, and then they have the four seats with the table in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in around a table with three Australian tourists. And they obviously, you know, I'm by myself. They think that I'm Italian. They don't know that, they're not realizing that I'm understanding English. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there in silence, listening to them talk and judging them for the things that they're saying. And, you know, mispronouncing all the names of the towns. And I'm just like, you know, that's just how I get. I know that it's, you know, a little snobby, but in my private thoughts, I allow myself to get that way.
It's a small little revenge or victory.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So now comes the guy from, you know, the dining car with his little mm-hmm. cart, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he's selling coffee and tea and, you know, whatever, biscotti, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the group, one lady probably ordered a coffee and one lady ordered whatever. And the other lady ordered a tea. And she ordered a tea. And the tea cost €1.50. Mm-hmm. And then after she had her tea, she started asking for milk. And, you know, then I started to just really dislike them because they were being really demanding and just mm-hmm. kind of the worst kind of tourists. You know what I mean? Like, just absolutely expecting everyone to speak English and, you know, mm-hmm. do you have milk? And the guy's like, no, I don't have milk. It's like, people don't put milk in tea in Italy. As far as I know, I don't know. You tell me.
Some do, but yeah, maybe most don't. Yeah.
Nobody does it in the U.S. I didn't even know that was a thing mm-hmm. until I started like meeting British people and I guess Australians too, and or maybe Canadians. Maybe it's common.
I don't know. Maybe thing. Some do.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it's very popular.
No.
So yeah, the guy's like, "No, what do you want? I don't have milk." Like, no, I don't have milk. So he's like trying to like just go away. You yeah. know, keep walking with the cart and. The lady demands a refund for the tea.
Oh, no.
She's like, can I have my $1.50 back?
Come on.
And at this time now, I was like fuming because she's being very demanding. She's making a big deal over a €1.50 and calling it a $1.50. And, you know, she gets her guy's like, fine, you know, gives her
whatever
€1.50 back. And then, the other woman is like playing with her coffee and she's got the sugar packet and she's like, zook, 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 zucchero, zucchero. She looks at me. She looks over at me. She's like, zucchero, zucchero. I'm like, zucchero. And then they turn, you know, back to each other and then we get to La Spezia and that's the end of the thing. So the entire time I was listening to their entire conversation in English and the only word I said to them was zucchero.
Not cool that she asked for a refund. That's
yeah.
not cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely not.
But, you know, then the rest of the week on those trains up and along the coast, you know, in Cinque Terre, you can take the train yeah. to the five towns. And once I stopped being mad, just the fact that they were there, then I ended up talking to some people. And mm-hmm. Some people would be like, excuse me, sir. Sir, do you speak English? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And I remember one lady's like, oh. Surprised after my American accent came out of my mouth.
Oh, you made their day for sure.
But, you know, I think I look Italian and I'm traveling alone. Yeah. So those yeah. two things, I think, really made it. It made it an enjoyable thing. And I met her.
Nick, were you staying in one of the five lands of the five towns or just outside?
I stayed outside. So I was a budget backpacker traveler. Looking for hostels, and there is a hostel. What's the name of the town?
Was it not Levanto?
No, it's inland. It's not on the sea, but it's very, very close. It's called Biasa. It's by La Spezia.
I don't know that.
And yeah. Very, very small little town. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you can just get a ride. I think the hostel would just like, they had a shuttle van and they just take people back and forth all day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's great. It's good advice as well. When I went to Cinque Terre with my wife, we stayed in Levanto, which is on the coast and is on the same train line. So yeah, you could just walk down to the station and then just go hop on these trains, which will drop you off in one of the five lands. And really, there's no other way to get there other than by boat. So mm-hmm. there's no cars that can get to it. At least I don't. Not all of them. Some maybe there's a way to get there by car, but it's not an easy one.
Yeah, it's not really very. There's no cars in the towns.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. See, I'm looking at the map now. Levanto is the other end by mm-hmm. Monte Rosso.
Yes.
And then La Spezia and Piazza are at the fifth town, Rio Maggiore,
mm-hmm.
on the other end. So yeah, you can save a few dollars if you are willing to stay at the, you know, mm-hmm. the towns just outside, the sixth town, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
On either side. You know, I just spent 3-4 days just really hiking around. You know, there's some cool, you can get these cones of fried seafood there.
Oh yeah?
For like €5. It's kind of like a street food thing almost. Mm. They go out, it's the same people go out at the boat at 5 o'clock in the morning, catch all the fish,
yeah.
bring it to their little stall, and you can be, you know, pay €5, the paper cone.
Yes.
And eat the fish. That's a cool thing to eat there. I did eat poorly a few times there, though. Mm. These touristy places.
Yeah. In fact, my memory was that we had better luck in Levanto. Because, again, there's more choice. And you can actually research, ask maybe the locals what's good. We didn't have any problem there. In fact, it was wonderful. And we also had the best focaccia there in Levanto. Focacceria are very popular and definitely a thing to do in Liguria. And farinata, which is another bakery item made of chickpea flour. And it's also amazing. So yes, I have a very good memory of Levanto.
If you like chickpea flour, you do need to go to Palermo.
Oh yeah?
Have you heard of pane e panelle?
Actually, no. Yeah, I've never been
to
Palermo.
That's like the big thing in Palermo. It's like a chickpea patty almost. Mm-hmm. It's like a chickpea burger.
Interesting.
Very, very popular food in Palermo. After I left the Cinque Terre, I headed actually back north, and it's a little bit geographically crazy, but I headed up to Como after that. So the father of the family that I had lived with in Turin for 3 months, he was from Como.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wanted to go there, I had already visited on a school trip, Lago d'Orta.
Oh, yes.
I think it is.
You know, it's one of my favorite places in Italy. I got married there.
Really?
Yes. So we should talk about Lago d'Orta a little bit. Do you mind?
Okay. Yeah, they have. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I went on a school trip there. They have the little island with the monastery where you're not allowed to talk in the middle of the lake there.
Yep. And they have San Giulio. And they have this this church where you can find the remains of the saint. It's very creepy. You get the skull of this dude. And and you can eat really well on this island as well. There's like a little restaurant. You can also stay at the convent if you want to sleep there. Obviously, they won't party at night much. And then you eat whatever they have, as the proverb says. but definitely you can stay there. I have a friend of mine who did just that. And then the town of Orta instead... is just gorgeous because, again, you cannot really drive in it, so you need to park outside. There's a huge parking lot as you arrive. And then it's just beautiful. It's all cobblestone and great.
There's lots of restaurants. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Here's a story from there. I was with the students, and we had a tour guide, And the tour guide took us all around, obviously. And we were, there's one point in Orta where there's very, very steep stairs. Up to a church, I think. That might be the church you're talking about.
No, I think what you're referring to is Sacromonte, which is a pilgrim site just on the hill next to Orta. Orta is on the lake, so this is a little bit away from the water.
And it's, you go further up, in, yeah.
Further in, and you go up a lot. And it's pretty interesting, this place. It's a sanctuary. So you walk around to these chapels, and you can see reconstructions with statues that recreate certain moments in life of saints or certain aspects of Catholic stories. Yes, so, and there's a church there too. Yes, there's churches everywhere in Italy.
Yeah.
So you were going up this hill.
So we're with the tour guide, and the, you know, I was with a group of Italian students, but what they would do was they would take them on tours in English to improve, you know, their, because it's for English class.
Okay.
So you had an Italian tour guide speaking English to a bunch of Italian students, and everyone's Italian but me. And of course, I always felt weird because it's like you're all catering to me. And then the one thing you'll always get in Italy if you're from an English speaking country is, oh, I'm so sorry for my English. I'm so sorry. It's so, and you know, so you've got the tour guide who's speaking nearly perfect English, just falling over herself, apologizing to me for her English.
It's probably some kind of just in case, but hands
yeah.
forward.
No, I mean, it's endearing. Mm-hmm. So she starts talking about climbing up these stairs, and the students weren't familiar with the word climb. So I think we were explaining the word climb. Salire, would you say salire?
Scalare.
Scalare.
Yeah.
Salire is to get on the train, right? And scendere is to get off, go down.
Yeah.
So scalare is more climb. So, you know, we're standing at the bottom of the stairs talking about climbing. And I'm explaining the word climb. And then it's time to go. So I turn to the class and I say, okay, climbiamo. And they all thought that was really, really funny. And they were laughing for like 4 minutes about that. I mean, probably most of the audience won't get that, but
no, they will.
That's what came to mind for Lake Orta. Climbiamo.
They must have adored you just to have you there, and you know,
yeah,
you explaining new words, and then you try to make up Italian words, and it's just hilarious.
So, yeah, but I wanted to go to Como for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you're a Star Wars fan.
A little bit, yeah.
But in the Star Wars prequel movies.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
The area around Como was Naboo.
Yes, I do know that, yeah.
And there's this particular villa there called the Villa del Babianello that was very prominently in all three of these movies. And
yeah.
A friend of mine and I would always talk about that. Like, you know, we would always kind of impersonate the characters because they have very cheesy lines in that movie. And we would, and so, yeah, I said, I'm going to go to that place.
Is it possible to visit?
Yeah, you can go visit it. And I'm going to go to that place and I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to my buddy, just like as a joke, and send it with like a funny quote, just, you know, so I traveled like 100 kilometers to send a funny text. Obviously, I wanted to see it too. It's gorgeous.
It's worth it.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. So I had mentioned to my host father, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Como. And he's like, I'm like, you know, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to take the train. And he's like, no. You're going to come with me. Mm. So after I left Cinque Terre, I was to meet him in Como that following evening. So I got on the train, went through Milano, changed trains, got to Como. And he picked me up from the station. We went to his apartment. He actually lived in Chiasso in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So we got to go across the international border.
Yeah.
And I experienced a very small part of the Italian part of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I set down my bags and everything, and I only had one night there. And so what followed was the most intensive tour of Como that you could ever imagine. But, you know, he was so excited to show me his hometown. He took me out. There's a funicular. We went up on the hill. Very, very high. There's a, I don't know if it's a sanctuary or a monastery or something above Como, the highest point. You can see everything. We ran all the way up there. We ran back down, and then we had some fantastic aperitivo, with a little buffet.
Yeah.
I need to figure out the name of that place if I'm ever back, because it was absolutely the best.
Yeah, you can dine really well in Como.
Yeah, it's very, very nice town, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The lake aside, very nice town.
I have a memory from Como. I was there with my wife on our trip, and we were dining in this restaurant, and there was a man eating alone in his, I don't know, 60s or 70s, and there was a large table next to him with a large family, three generations, you know, the grandfather and the kids and the grandkids. And then towards the end of the meal, the man stood up and just went to congratulate them on their family, which was one of the things, like, it's still very, very strong in my head, making them think, you know, how precious it is what they have. So,
wow.
Pretty strong image. I was very happy to witness that and then explain to my wife what just happened, because she thought he had something to say, was complaining or something. But no, it's quite the opposite. Yeah, anyway, good memories. So yes, Como. And did something else happen in Como?
Yeah, so then we went and we, after the aperitivo, we went to another seafood restaurant somewhere, and great food again. So of course now I'm stuffed. And now he says, oh, come, we're going to go meet up with some of my friends. And we get in the car, and we probably drove for 15, 20 minutes. And that's why I was saying, I think, I don't know if we, maybe we didn't go to Varese, but we went in the direction of Varese. It was very beautiful up there, forested, you know, doesn't look like a lot of other parts of Italy. Then 20-minute drive, we end up in this little town somewhere, and he takes me into a bar, and we go inside, and it's karaoke night.
That's why people drive 20 minutes to get to the karaoke. Italians are big on karaoke.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, there was a TV show in the 90s that made it popular. Before, we didn't know what it was, you know, obviously. We've all been singing along, but not in the sense, you know, the music without the words and the lyrics on screen. So that formula was very popular in this TV show. So after that, they opened up everywhere. I don't know if they're still popular. Probably they are. So you're saying that you went there a year ago. So
yeah, this was under a year ago.
It's probably even more now. So did you have fun?
Yeah, I mean, it was a blast. So I walk in and I meet my friend's friend, exchange pleasantries. I tell him my whole story and how I'd been there. And I remember at that moment, too, just having almost kind of like a epiphany of like how good my Italian had gotten, because I wasn't speaking any English at all with this guy. And it was a loud bar and I was able to carry on a conversation with him. So I remember being really happy about it at that point. So, you know, we're hanging out and I'm watching everybody sing and a lot of Italian songs that I didn't know. And, you know, then they turned to me and they're like, Nick, you got to sing.
Tanta. Of course.
You have to sing. And I said, oh, what am I going to sing? What am I going to sing? I don't know. And they've got, for whatever reason, and I asked him, behind the DJ, there is the Stars and Stripes. There's an American flag. And hanging behind the DJ on the wall, but the flag has like a bald eagle bursting through the flag. And it's the actual flag isn't torn, but the image of the flag is an eagle like who's torn the flag
flying through
and exploded through the flag.
Hmm. I wonder what that was.
I said, Luca, why do you guys have an American flag in your bar? Perché? Bandiera, perché? And he said, oh, well, in Italy, it's for us, the American dream is And I said, oh, well, yeah, for in America, everyone talks about la dolce vita in Italia. So, and everyone, you can go out in the United States and see pictures of Italy everywhere you go. So I guess everybody is just trying to give somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I saw that flag and I thought about it and I said, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying born in the USA.
I figured I was about to say. It's gotta be.
Should I ever say Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA? They're like, yeah, 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 born in USA, born in USA. Sing that. And I said, but you know, that song actually, I don't know if you know the lyrics, but it's actually a protest song. It's actually kind of depressing. And they're like, ah, nobody knows. Nobody cares. Sing that song.
Nobody does.
So yeah, I got up there on stage. And I sang Born in the USA, and I had the whole place clapping like this. I've got the whole thing on video, actually. I can send it to you.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
We can post
Everybody
it.
Loved it. Everybody loved it. And yeah, that was my night in Como.
Pretty epic.
Yeah.
Were you completely drunk, or were you sober when you did that?
Sober. I mean, yeah.
Perfectly
I
sober.
I had a glass of wine, but... Yeah.
See, here, if you go to a karaoke night, it means everybody is drunk of beer. There, you know, you just have a glass of red, and that's how you sing.
It's interesting because, like, some things I'm very guarded and very shy about, and another thing, it's like I don't have a problem to get up on stage and do karaoke. I don't know.
Well, you're probably confident you can sing, and that's something that helps a little bit.
I'm not bad. I'm not bad.
You're not bad. You're okay. And you're not shy. Let me tell you, you're not shy. Right, Nick. I think, you know, we're out of time for this episode. We didn't even get to go down to Campobasso. Going to have to do that another time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this was, you know, two of your... day trips or small trips at the beginning of your tour of Italy, and we really only got that far today, but we'll return very soon with more. I really want to get to Campobasso and the discovery of your ancestors' towns.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Nick. Talk soon. Have a fantastic day.
A presto, Paolo. Ciao.
Ciao.